If you're unlucky enough to be diagnosed with cancer, it seems like a no-brainer to expect that the treatment offered would either let you live longer or make your quality of life better, or ideally both. But research is showing that many cancer drugs don't necessarily improve quality of life. They might even make it worse, and they might not do much for your life expectancy either. So why are they being approved and prescribed? A recent paper in JAMA Oncology investigates just this, and I've been speaking to one of its authors, Bishal Gawali.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So when we're looking at treating someone with cancer, we're really balancing their survival likelihood with their quality of life during the time that they're alive. What sort of factors play into this balance?
Yeah, patients with cancer, they take drugs, assuming that taking those drugs helps them live a longer and a better life, ideally both. But some of the cancer drugs, they do only either of them. And most cancer drugs, recently, they do neither of them.
Why on earth are we giving people drugs that don't do either of those things?
That's a question that we as a society need to ask nowadays, because most of the drugs that are approved lately are approved on the basis of what we call surrogate endpoints. What I'm trying to say is these drugs are approved because they shrink tumor on CAT scans. But what we have seen is shrinking the tumor from 5 centimeter to 2 centimeter does not necessarily mean that the patient will have a longer life or a better life in most cases. There are some exceptions, but that's the crux of the problem.
So what did you look at in your recent study?
We're trying to look at the phase 3 randomized trials of cancer drugs. And we tried to see what happens to the quality of life outcomes for our patients in these trials. And the reason for that is most of the cancer drugs, they get approved on the basis of survival or these surrogate endpoints like responses or progression-free survival. But most cancer drug trials, they do not even look for quality of life outcomes until recently. There has been some improvement, but we wanted to see what the quality of life outcomes are with modern cancer drug trials. Still, quality of life outcomes is not measured by a huge number of trials. Of those that do measure, we found that only 24%, so 1/4 of these trials, actually improved quality of life. Some of our cancer drugs, despite shrinking the tumor or despite delaying progression, they do not improve quality of life. So we wanted to check this quality of life outcomes with the survival outcomes. And one reassuring finding is that of the cancer drugs that improved survival, none of them actually worsened quality of life, which was a meaningful finding. But of those drugs that did not improve survival, only delayed the growth of the tumor, some of them were associated with worsening of quality of life. That is an important finding. We have cancer drugs that do not improve how long a patient lives, just delays the growth of the tumor or maybe shrinks the tumor, but ends up worsening patient's quality of life. So I would argue that these drugs are harmful for patients, harmful for society. And the third finding was that even when the quality of life was detrimental, when this was reported in publication, in the trial publication, there were a lot of bias in how the authors framed the quality of life outcomes. We call it favorable framing of quality of life results in our paper. I want to give an example. If the quality of life was worsened, some of the studies reported it by saying quality of life was worsened only slightly, probably this is not of importance. So they were trying to downplay the detrimental effects on quality of life. If there is an improvement in survival or quality of life, they never do that. They never say that, oh, we improved quality of life or we improved survival, but it was only a small margin, so it's not meaningful. They never say that. But when the direction is opposite, they try to downplay it. And the other example is when quality of life was not improved, instead of reporting it as the drug did not improve quality of life, they write the drug did not worsen quality of life. No patient is taking a drug expecting to not worsen their quality of life. They want their quality of life to improve. These are some of the nuances in which reporting can bias the readers towards a more favorable interpretation of the drug than it actually is.
Do we need a standardized measure for quality of life, or does this need to be compulsory as part of how results are reported?
We should mandate that all cancer drug trials should report quality of life, at least the phase 3 cancer drug trials that are seeking registration and approval of the drug. They should mandatorily report on quality of life outcomes, A. And B, if the quality of life is detrimental and survival is also not improved, then we should classify those drugs as harmful and not worthy of approval. And third, the journals and the editors and the reviewers should be aware of this potential bias in framing the results during publication so that we can avoid this in our trial publications.
So how is quality of life measured usually? Is it self-reported or are there certain measures that are taken into consideration?
Yes, quality of life measurement is a little messy. It's not as straightforward as measuring survival, because survival is pretty straightforward. When a person dies, that's a fixed date. But quality of life is usually self-reported, but there are several tools to measure quality of life. The important thing is that we need to use a validated measure.
What do you hope comes of this research in terms of patients?
When you are in a clinic and your oncologist is recommending you a certain drug, you need to ask, does this drug improve my quality of life? And not just assume that because the progression will be delayed, quality of life will be improved. And that cannot be assumed. In fact, we had several drugs that worsened quality of life despite delaying progression. And the other thing actually is, in our study, we saw that among those drugs that worsen quality of life, most common were targeted drugs. In modern oncology practice, we have started to become big fan of targeted drugs. But our study actually questions that notion. Simply because a drug is targeted does not necessarily mean that it will lead to better quality of life compared to chemotherapy. So patients will need to ask specifically what the consequences on their quality of life will be as a result of taking that drug. And the physicians will also need to answer that question. So they will be seeking for more evidence on this issue. Then the trials and the industry will need to provide those answers. So that's how maybe we can make some cultural changes.
Bishal, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Bishal Gawali is in the Cancer Research Institute at Queen's University in Ontario, Canada. You're listening to RN's Health Report with me, Tegan Taylor.